have already done preliminaries for this particular Upanishad. I gave you a number of words in Sanskrit and their meanings. Maybe many of them have been forgotten, but it does not matter. We shall revise them as we proceed further. Let me first make a few statements about the Upanishad in general. Upanishad, you remember, has two meanings. The word Upanishad, it is to receive knowledge by sitting near the teacher. That's the meaning of the Upanishad. Upa means near, ni means still nearer, sad means to sit. To sit near, very near the teacher, and to receive the knowledge by communication. So that knowledge which has been transmitted by means of being very near, still near, almost you can whisper into the ears of the pupil. You take the pupil very, very near into your heart, into your soul, and whisper into the soul the highest knowledge. That is Upanishad. The second meaning is that you enter into the secret heart of truth and knowledge. That which takes you into the inner heart of the truth, very, very near the truth, very close to the truth, so the secret truth is known. That which contains that knowledge, that truth, is Upanishad. The style, the manner in which Upanishads are written looks to us a little unfamiliar. The modern writings are of different kinds. Whether it is prose or poetry, the modern mind expects lot of explanation. You make a statement, make second statement, third statement, fourth statement. Each statement should be linked in a very close manner. But Upanishad is of a different kind. Between one statement and the other, there's a big jump. As Sri Aurobindo says elsewhere, the steps of the Upanishads are like the steps of the giant. Imagine a huge giant, and it puts one step here, and its capacity to spread its second leg is so great that the second step will be very far. Such is the style of the Upanishad. The steps of the Upanishadic exposition is like the stepping of the giant. The distance between one step and the other is so great, in between so much is transited. Therefore, when you read Upanishad, you should expect that you are transiting between one statement and the other a great deal. It is not like aeroplane speed. In aeroplane, you do make a transition, even though it is fast, but every step is covered. But a giant's stepping, it is as if the middle points are overcrossed. And if you want to link, you find it very difficult to link them. This is the first characteristic of the Upanishad, and you will expect when you read this, you will find how you are moving with a giant. One step and the next step and the third step. In 18 steps everything is completed. When people write the commentaries, you find so many hundreds of pages are written just to explain 18 verses. Because so much is already compressed, overpassed. The second characteristic of Upanishad is that whatever is stated stimulates in you, or ought to stimulate in you, not only a thinking process but a process of experience. You know, there is a difference between understanding something by thought and understanding something by experience. I present to you a cube of sugar and say, look, this is sugar, it's very sweet. Now you may have an idea of that cube, the form, the whiteness of it, but that is all that you have as long as it is put before you and you try to understand that sugar cube by thought. But when you put it in your tongue, it's quite different. The sweetness of the sugar is experienced. Now such is the difference between the statements understood by thought and statements understood by experience. And Upanishads are actually meant to be statements to be understood through experience. So when you read this and try to understand by thought, much of it seems to you to be perplexing. It is only on the anvil of experience that it becomes illuminating.